Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Boy, this story absolutely blew me away when I read it today. Like I say on this channel and on my whiteboard videos all the time, the U.S. economy is completely dependent upon asset prices, asset bubbles. And I don't think there's any better story that illustrates this than the one we're going to go over right now. So let's head over to the Wall Street Journal via an email that Josh sent me. So believe it or not, the title of this video was not clickbait. It's actually true. Homes earned more for owners than their jobs did last year. And so as you guys, those of you who follow my videos for quite some time, you know that I'm in Medellin now, but I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and I have been in Phoenix, Arizona most of the time since, call it the beginning of 2021. And I was completely befuddled by the amount of, let's just call it aggregate demand, to use a wonky term, that I saw everywhere. You couldn't get a reservation at a restaurant. You couldn't get an Uber. I would go to a bar or something, and people would be spending, you know, $5,000-$10,000, and they'd be driving all these fancy cars. And I'm like, where is this money coming from? Like how are they doing this at a time when everyone's quitting their job and the unemployment rate might be going down, but the labor force participation rate is going down as well. And so we have fewer people working, they're quitting their jobs. How are they doing this? And then I would look around at the home prices, you know, it's going up and up and up and up. And it's like, well, how are they affording the down payment? You know, where is all this money coming from? And I totally get it with the stimmy checks, and I get it with the PPP loans. But there was a lot that didn't explain all the aggregate demand that I saw everywhere. And so then I'm like, well, it's got to be home prices and it's got to be asset prices. It's got to be stock market. It's got to be cryptocurrency. And especially when cryptocurrency got above like a $2 trillion market cap, then I'm like, okay, this has a lot to do with it. But it's not just cryptocurrency. It's all asset prices. Anyone who owns assets from a standpoint of in nominal terms, they made a lot of money since March of 2020. But I didn't realize to what degree. And this article just illustrates it perfectly. So increase in value of typical U.S. home exceeded median worker income for the first time, according to Zillow. I mean, I don't have to tell you guys how unsustainable this is. But think just for a moment. Think about the amount of purchasing power that is a direct result of the stock market and the housing market in the United States, in the domestic economy. And let's just assume for a moment that home prices flatlined for the next 10 years. Or if the stock market flatlined for the next 10 years, what would happen to the U.S. economy? I mean, it would completely implode. Now let's take it a step further and say, well, what if the stock market and the housing market went down by 50%? I mean, that would be catastrophic. And it just shows you how fragile the U.S. economy is. And it shows you how fundamentally unsound it is. Because a proper economy, a healthy, vibrant economy, should not live or die based on asset prices. I mean, think about that for a moment. You guys know as well as I do, it should be a result of productivity. The goods and services an economy and a society can create efficiently. This is a measurement of wealth. It's how much can we produce, and are we producing more than we consume? So think about that for a moment. How much, because of these astronomical housing prices and stock prices and cryptocurrency prices, how much excess consumption have we had above and beyond our level of productivity or what we've produced. I mean, obviously there's no way to quantify it directly, but it's an incredible, incredible number. And then you think about, okay, well, what happens if we got to a point where we actually had to consume what we produced? What would that look like in the U.S. economy? And I can tell you what it would look like. It'd look like Mexico. And people kind of scoff at that. And they say, oh, that's never going to happen here in the United States. And they just don't realize the fragility of the U.S. economy. I mean, just think about it this way. 70% of the economy is consumption. Okay. And we're talking about GDP. Okay, great. Well, how much of that consumption is predicated upon asset prices? And you say, well, not much. Okay, great. Let's do a thought experiment. Asset prices go down by 50%, never recover. What happens to the level of consumption in the United States? Therefore, what happens to GDP? I mean, you're talking about a depression on a level that Americans can't even fathom. I would argue Americans that even lived through the Great Depression, that they can't even, I mean, it would exceed that by, it would double that. I mean, it would be far worse than the Great Depression, in my opinion. Now, is that a deflationary depression, inflationary depression? I don't know. But this just really reminds me of just how fundamentally unsound the economy is and just how much of a heroin addict it has become. And just as the heroin addict is physically and mentally unhealthy to an extreme, so is our economy, so is our society. Let's move on down this article. Zillow Group Inc.'s Home Value Index, which estimates the value of the typical U.S. home, rose almost 20% in 2021. Wow. Up to $321,000. Obviously, nominal. So, you know, how much of the home price? An increase of $52,000. Okay. From 2020. That figure is slightly higher than what the median U.S. full-time worker earned, which is about $50,000. Before taxes. Oh my goodness. And you say, well, George, that really doesn't matter because no one's selling their house. Okay, yeah. Well, or what we could do is we could just go over to this chart and we could see what's happening with equity cashed out when refinancing. Remember that? Back during the last blow up prior to the GFC? Let's say right around 2005. You guys can see these numbers where my arrow is. That's Q2, Q4, 2005. And we can see cash out. Home equity around $100 billion in those quarters. And we see today it's moving up rapidly, and it's at $80 billion. And I would guess that when we see the numbers for Q1 of 2022, that we would be getting darn close to that $100 billion number. And I totally understand the argument, well, there's a lack of supply. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. But at some point in time, the demand destruction would have to meet an equilibrium point with the lack of supply. And you say, well, how is the demand, you know, where is the demand destruction coming from? Well, how about we have a recession? How about the stock market goes down by 50%? And then I would say, how about interest rates go up? So right here, you can see on this chart, we got Freddie 30-year fixed rate, this green line going straight up. Now you say it's still at an all-time very, very low, which it is. But look at how much it's increased since 2021. It's gone from, I would guess, maybe, 2.5% up to almost 4%. In fact, this is actually a little old because I read today that as of yesterday or today, the interest rate on a 30-year fixed rate loan, just the going kind of average, is about 4.6%. Again, not high historically speaking, but it is an incredible increase from where we were just 6 months ago. So then you look at the this blue line, excuse me, and this is the payment to income ratio. So this is going straight up, and meaning that how much of your mortgage payment or how much of your monthly income does your mortgage payment consume? And when this number goes higher and higher, that means the mortgage payments become more and more and more unaffordable. And you say, well, George, it doesn't matter because I've got a 30-year fix. Yeah, that's great. But how about the person that's going to buy your home? So we've got to think about demand. And demand has nothing to do with current homeowners. And because the whole key here is the supply-demand dynamic. So I just wanted to point those out as far as examples of how we could be seeing demand decrease significantly over the rest of 2022. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts, Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow rebel capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. Going back to the main story, let's keep reading here. So it says home values have surged as low market or low mortgage interest rates stoked buyer demand, and the number of homes on the market remained unusually low. Remote work enabled some households to move high-cost housing markets to less expensive ones. I mean, that's where pretty much, I was going to say 90%, but I'm probably exaggerating. When I was in Phoenix, I've got some great friends who are real estate agents. And I mean, like, I don't know what percentage, but it was the majority of the homes they were selling were from people who did exactly this. They were in California. They made an astronomical amount of money from their home equity. They sold their house, cashed out, and then used that as a down payment to buy a McMansion or whatever in Phoenix. And that was driving the prices higher there. So this is the dynamic that we're seeing. And it's all of these variables that go into just this insanity that we've seen in housing prices going to all-time highs. And it's just, well, I could go back to another chart, but I don't want to get too sidetracked. So the surge in home prices last year has become a boon to homeowners, but has made it more difficult for first-time homebuyers to enter the housing market, excuse me. The people who are winning those housing bids typically are the folks who have higher incomes or have the equity from their previous home. See, they're just selling one home using the amount of equity they have or that they've gained to buy a more expensive home. It's just, oh, wow, what a game of musical chairs. So this is, according to Nicole Bashad, an economist at Zillow, that's definitely a big challenge, I think, when we consider first-time homebuyers, renters, people who don't already own a home and aren't really benefiting from that equity, right? And they talk about this as a tailwind, but let's remember that if home prices go down, that the same forces that drove the market up, those same forces are going to drive the market down at the exact same rate, because it's not the increase in home prices has nothing to do with people producing more stuff. That's what it boils down to at the end of the day. We haven't increased our levels of productivity at all. We aren't producing anything more. But yet we're able to afford a more and more and more expensive house. Well, that math doesn't work. Now, if all of this demand is a result of people producing more, then great. Then that's definitely sustainable. But that's the opposite of what we're seeing. We're seeing all of this demand driven by basically financial engineering. And at some point in time, that ends very, very poorly. So going back to the article, collectively, U.S. homeowners with mortgages gained more than $3.2 trillion in equity in 2021. Wow. I mean, there is just some mind-blowing statistics in this article. The difference between wages and the change in their home value was especially wide in California. Yeah, exactly. Because they're all selling and going to Arizona or Texas. That's basically what's happening. And they're coming in with cash. And it's just so true that, you know, Mark Faber, I remember, always says when money is printed, you don't know where it's going to go. And it's just this domino effect. And it's exactly what we're seeing. I mean, there's just so much financial engineering, and you don't know where that water is going to end up. You know, it's going to take the path of least resistance. And you just see there's so many knock-on effects, I guess, or unintended consequences, that you give out all these PPP loans, you drop interest rates artificially low, and you come in with a psychological Fed put, let's say, that drives up the stock market, and that allows the home prices to go up. The regulators come in and overregulate the housing market, so it's far tougher to build, and then the input costs of the builders skyrocket as well, so they can't really build anything and make a profit, so there's no supply coming onto the housing market, and all those people, their home prices go through the roof, although they haven't produced any more goods and services. They take all that equity, they go into another market and do the exact same thing there because there's so little supply, and then that drives the prices up higher when it's all this foreign demand coming from financial engineering. I mean, it's just when you really sit down and think through each step that occurs and each knock-on effect, it's just staggering. So going back to the article, where home prices going is saying, especially wide in California, where home prices were among the highest in the nation, according to Zillow analysis of 38 metro areas in San Diego, for example, a typical home price gained $160,000 in value just last year. And the typical worker earned $55,000. Wow. The median sales price in San Diego County rose to $800,000 in February, up 17.5%. Think about that for a moment. Let's say that you're just a plumber, not even that. You could be like a bartender. Probably they make even more than 55. You could be like a worker at Walmart or something, like a manager at Walmart or at like Chipotle or something. And yet if you bought a house 4 years ago, you're a millionaire and you have more purchasing power than someone who lives in a market where home prices didn't go up. And they've been working their entire life, saving every single penny, producing more than they consume. And if you don't think that has social implications, you're lying to yourself. You're whistling by the graveyard. You know, it's ignorance is bliss. That has massive social consequences, and we're going to be seeing a lot of civil unrest as a result. I mean, think about if you're that plumber, let's say, in an area where home prices have not gone up or to the same degree, right? And that you are actually having to consume what you produce, or that your level of consumption is directly correlated to what you produce. And you've got people that are making 50 grand a year that are becoming basically instant millionaires. And they're going around driving Lamborghinis and what I mean. And you know what's interesting is people don't get it. And, you know, more power to you if you got rich. But people just don't get, they think that they were just at the right place at the right time. And, oh, I made a smart decision by investing in real estate. They just don't get it. They don't realize that they are the beneficiary of an economy going horribly, horribly wrong. And at some point in time, that quote unquote wealth that they acquired won't buy them any more goods and services than their bartending job did while they're making 55 grand a year. I mean, that's how this ends. The median sales price in a San Diego rose 8. Yeah, we talked about that. The increase in typical home value, fast-growing markets like Atlanta, Dallas, Salt Lake, Boise, Idaho, also exceeded the median incomes for those areas, according to Zillow. The housing market remained competitive this year. Inventory fell to record low in January. The median home price, all-time high now of $392,000 in February, according to Realtor.com. Well, there you have it, guys. Just some unbelievable statistics. And I'm trying to give you a actionable takeaway, because I know what's on the majority of your mind is, okay, well, do I buy? Do I sell? Do I rent? You know, what do I do? Because everyone needs a roof over their head. And I can't answer that question for you. But I think if you start to try to answer that question from a standpoint of being educated and actually knowing the risk and knowing the reward, that you're going to make a far better decision. I mean, think about how many of your friend and family member Freds are just running around like an ostrich with their head in the sand, and they're just completely oblivious, and they think that just home prices always go up. So everyone knows that. You just buy real estate, you just get rich. So I want to buy, like Jim Cramer, and them not knowing the underlying dynamics. Now, if you buy a home, you'd make that decision, but you understand the underlying dynamics, well, fine, because you understand the risks and you understand the rewards. But I guess the cautionary tale is that make sure that if you're going to whatever you're doing in the housing market, that you not only understand the reward, but you understand the risk, which very few people do. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.